regular meeting of the Berlin Mayor and Council for August 12, 2019. It has been our tradition for many, many years. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on the agenda is the approval of the regular session minutes of July 22nd.
Motion to approve.
Do you have one comment?
Yeah. Just state your name and whatever comment you want.
I spoke last week. Section 7, comments from the public, paragraph 3. I guess that's the first sentence in there. You say, EA began in 2017 indicating that chemicals were on site and a disposal fee. I never mentioned anything about a disposal fee. That's all. So if you just get rid of and a disposal fee,
No problem. No problem with anybody. Thank you. Because you want to be accurate, and thank you very much for bringing attention. Okay. All right, so with that change, is there any other questions? All right. So we have a motion.
Motion with the change.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the minutes with the change shared with us by Mr. McGowan for the July 22nd regular meeting minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Next, number two, we have, second item has two parts. First is a public hearing regarding the changing of the name of Berlin Falls Park, which was purposely a temporary name, to Heron Park, and this recommendation is being made by the Berlin Falls Park Advisory Committee. So I'm now going to call the public hearing together and order it together, and then we will get any comments you may have. All right, the public hearing is now underway. To get any public comments regarding the changing of the name to Heron Park. Do you have any comments? Seeing none, I'm going to head close the public hearing. Public hearing is closed. Now we'll move to agenda item 2B. And now we will have folks from Berlin Falls Park Advisory Committee come forward and vote for folks. Just again, we all know you, but state your name and why you're, who you're representing.
Jack Horace, I'm the vice chair of the Berlin Falls Park Advisory Committee, which I'm hoping, I guess, in the next minute is going to be the Heron Park Advisory Committee. On the screen there and in front of you, you just have, we approached you. I should probably clarify that I'm filling in for Amy Field, the chair. Obviously. So we have here the survey results that we presented to Mayor and Council, I believe it was about a month and a half ago. This went out online. 73% of the respondents were residents of the town of Berlin. If you look at question two, aside from I prefer a different name, Heron Park received 20 or 19.8% of the vote. So that's that. And we just had the mayor open and close the public hearing. I didn't hear any comments. So on behalf of the committee, I encourage mayor and council to support the name change.
Okay, so the committee did review this and then agree to make the recommendation.
Yes,
to us.
Yes,
okay.
We did. We
just want to make that clear.
We came before mayor and council. I believe it was July.
It was about 6 weeks ago.
Okay, so that's good.
After no questions or comments, I'd like to move that we accept the recommendation of the committee and change the name to the Heron Park.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to take the recommendation of the Berlin Falls Park Advisory Committee to change the name from here on to Heron Park. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. And you know,
thank you.
Please let Amy and everybody know. We appreciate the work, and not just about this part, but this is a big push-up. I know you've had a lot to consider, and we do understand that. We know that this is not an easy task, and we just want you to know we appreciate all the efforts going in there. I think as time passes, more pieces will fall together, but we very much appreciate the work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we're on agenda item 3, a motion to approve this fiscal year stormwater priorities update, and which would involve removal of Project 5, Tier 2, entitled Bottle Branch at Steam Decatur. Will you kind of explain what's that?
Yeah, sure, I'll explain. It was probably about a year ago that I brought a series of projects we were calling Tier 2. It's actually projects 1 through 5, so you'll notice on the screen in front of you there's no project 5. So what I'm requesting is the removal of project 5 from the tier 2 priority list. It's unlikely that we would get to project 5, which is Bottle Branch at Decatur Street, for at least 5, maybe 10 years. What we have is an issue with a property owner who saw this PowerPoint presentation in a council packet and has expressed some concerns about the project and an interest in working with the town more closely on the design. And so in the interest of moving these Tier 2 projects forward, I'm asking the council to make this modification. We are attempting to get our stormwater projects into the Worcester County Hazard Mitigation Plan update. And they have asked for those projects, the completed projects, as well as the pending projects. They've asked for that information by Thursday. And so I'd like the Mayor and Council, if you're so inclined, to adjust the priority projects by removing the what was in a Tier 2 Project 5 entitled Bottle Branch at Decatur Street. At some future date, we'll bring it back and reintroduce another collection of priority projects. But by establishing these as the priority, you'll enable staff to go ahead and get this information into the Worcester County Hazard Mitigation Plan. This is important because when FEMA looks to fund stormwater projects, they look to the county's Hazard Mitigation Plan, and one of the challenges we're having currently is there's not enough information, specific information on specific projects in the plan to really entice FEMA to support it. So this is sort of a general summary of the projects overall. And then here's a detail of a little more description of the first 4 projects. You've seen this before, but I'm going to run through it again. Your top priority is completion of Hudson Branch along Pine, Franklin, Grice, and Nelson Streets. Project 2 is Hudson Branch at Bottle Branch Road. It's a channel stabilization restoration project. 3 is Bottle Branch at Henry's Mill and Henry's Green. And then 4 is Bottle Branch at West Street and Abbey Lane. So those would be the 4. So with your approval, I would request that.
I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion by Councilmember Tindall to approve the... Yes, sir.
I have a question.
Sure.
How will the delay of that project affect other projects downstream?
Yeah, so I had a conversation with our stormwater consultant, EA Engineering, Dara Kohler, and specifically, and he said that there's enough compartmentalization that there's not any interaction, so it should have no impact whatsoever.
I'm from Henry's Mill. I believe we've been told that we're working downstream and back up. Mm-hmm. If you stop that, that's going to still back up some of the drainage in our area. I would think you should take that into consideration if you're going to wait 5 more years.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead and make your comment.
Along
then.
Those lines, it would seem to me that doing West Street before Henry's Mill would alleviate some of the problems in Henry's Mill, because that is downstream, and that has been needed for 30, 40 years. So it seems to me that the priorities are really skewed here.
Well, I could put it this way, as far as I think determining, we may have to change the order of the projects, but all these projects need to be done. And I think our main concern is making sure that a project that we haven't even discussed, other than get the recommendation from the Army Corps of Engineers many years ago, take that and put it aside. And these, I think as we move forward, then it's certainly reasonable to have a discussion and have our wastewater, stormwater engineer here and any other consultants. And then this would be a good chance to ask questions and say, why is this first and why is that second? Yeah, because quite frankly, it won't all work until it's all done. But yeah, we don't want to make the problem worse before we make it better.
Well, I can explain. Project one is a priority, I believe, and this was discussed about a year ago, because there's still a lot of work to do in that neighborhood. And when the town had significant grant funding, the understanding was we would work up Hudson Branch and get as far up into Graham, Grice, and Nelson as we could. And so I believe from the discussion about a year ago, it was the council's interest in finishing that area and finishing up that neighborhood. So that's why it's number one. Number two is a priority because it involves flooding associated with our wastewater treatment plant. And I'm concerned, because we've had water all the way up to the fence, that if we don't do something with that stream, we're going to have some sort of flooding in our wastewater treatment facility, and I don't want to see that. You guys don't want to see it either. So that's really the explanation for Project 1 and Project 2.
And again, when going with the others, I think it'll be very good to have that discussion. These were based on the recommendations we had when we started all this, but it doesn't mean it can't be massaged or revised, if that makes sense, both certainly from an engineering standpoint, but just from a simple thing like which way does the water flow, which is something we've definitely wanted to do, is not build up artificial backups more than what we're already experiencing from not having a stormwater plan. So thank you.
Yeah, because, on a small rain event, I receive phone calls from both Project Zone 3 and 4, and I relay those to the staff level, and we've looked at those, and it'll be nice to work towards some solution.
Yeah, and I think that's something we all really make sure that, it's in the record that before we we're hoping to get Project 1 at least a good start on that, and then once that's completed, then we can make a decision about where we go next. And we can, Laura, I assume we can always contact the county and say, "Well, we're doing this project next." I mean, they just want to know where we're going. Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The granting agencies are interested in demonstration of a plan and some forward thinking on the town's part, and so this helps demonstrate that effort.
Well, if somebody make a motion, given. The fact that these are the approved project areas, and Project 1 is still our priority, and that the sequence of events will be determined as we move along and get more information. Is that fair?
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Does it need to be repeated, or is it okay?
I'm not going to repeat it. I think everybody understands where we are. But do we have a motion? So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Next is a requisition to Goody Hill for the Flower Street sewer main repair in the amount of $11,753. And would you tell us a little bit about what's involved there and what needs to be done?
Yes. Good evening, Mayor and Council. We're going to have to shut down Flower Street right there by Councilman Burrell's house, because we have to, Brittingham. We have to shut the street down because it's in the middle of the road, and we were able to get the camera down it. So really, we don't know what's happened, but we do know that there's an issue there, and there's sand coming in.
Yeah. Okay. So some sort of failure.
Yes, sir.
And this is the contracted amount, and about if it's approved. About how long would it take?
I'm hoping we can have it excavated and done in a day. Okay. That's our goal. We would hope to start Monday after we get everything notified. I've talked to the state highway today. They're going to let us have a variable message sign to put up on Flower Street there by the submerged gravel wetlands, and just say, Flower Street's going to be closed on this date. Great. And then if we have a rain date, it'll be that Tuesday, just in case. But
good.
That's my goal.
A lot of people traveling that street are starting to complain a lot now because
it's getting.
You go to speed limit, you get a dip.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be speeding.
It's not going to get better. Let me ask it.
Not too many people go to speed limit.
Yeah, that's another problem. Is it assuming that this gets approved? Would this be a project that could be done before the school year starts?
Yes, we're hoping Monday.
Excellent.
That's our goal, is to have it done before school buses or anything get going. I mean, he said he could start on it tomorrow if it was approved tonight, and I was like, no, we're not. We do have to notify the residents a little
bit. Yeah, give them a heads up.
Yeah, so we're hoping, I spoke with Laura, and we're hoping to start it Monday after the weekend. That way gives everybody a substantial amount of time for notification.
We get over 30 school buses in the morning, 30 school buses in the evening.
And there's probably more at lunchtime. There's probably 10 or 15 at lunchtime.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve the requisition for Goody Hill for $11,753 for Flower Street sewer main repair.
So moved.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the requisition for that sewer main repair. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Again, the motion passed unanimously.
Thank you.
It will be closed to all vehicles, including emergency vehicles.
Yes, because we're going to be digging right in the center of the road. The sewer main runs right in the yellow line.
So the closure will be shared with the fire department.
Oh, yeah. Arnold, and I'll get up with Arnold before I do anything, and everybody will know.
That's why we need the time to go ahead through that notification process.
Okay. Next. All right. Next is on item 3C, Chesapeake Environmental Services requisition for the Berlin Falls cleanup. This is the second invoice we've got, and not the last, but this is in the amount of $26,940.23.
It's actually two invoices
for that amount.
Yeah, for that total.
For that total. And this gets us up to date now, but we're anticipating at least one or two more requisitions before the cleanup's completely done. But what we're doing is we're paying as we go. It just makes sense all around for both our standpoint and for theirs for coming to our aid instantly. So does anybody have any questions or comments about this invoice for basically $26,940.23? Yes.
To MDO and Parsons Circuit, is that MDE case be closed at some point, or where are we going?
Yeah, and we're the best we can guess, because they don't have to tell us when. We're thinking towards by the end of August. It's everything's proceeding, but when they send us their final okay is up to them.
Right.
But so far they've been fine with what we're doing, and all the chemicals, all the chemicals that were initially, rather with soil or liquids, have been removed. They're off the property and long gone. But what we have to do is we still have some other, after effect cleanups. And as we're going through it, since this is a 30-day billing, you just tell them bill us every 30 days. And
all the cleanup or all the chemicals are gone. There's still residual there.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
There's
some residual, and that's the next thing we're going to be doing. It's right at the base of the building where all this problem happened. And it's not liquid, but whatever it is, we just want it gone. Because we don't, and that's why we're holding off, the Marion House is holding off on Rio Grande Park, because we don't want anything to be hazardous there now that we know what was there. No,
absolutely.
You're welcome.
Move to approve.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the requisition to Chesapeake Environmental Services in the amount of $26,940.23 for the latest installment on the chemical spill cleanup at Berlin Falls Park. Keep calling it Berlin Falls Park while we're cleaning up. But to be soon, the cleaned up Heron Park. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? None. So it's again, it passed unanimously. Now, agenda item 3D, approving the community parks and playground grant application for, I guess, the next round of grant.
For the state fiscal year 21 community parks and playgrounds grant program.
So it's 2 years down the road in terms of the actual awarding of it. All right, would you kind of walk us through that a little bit?
You may recall that we actually applied last year for the lighting of the Dr. Henry Park basketball courts, very similar to the way the tennis courts are lit. They would be timed lights that can only be turned on up until, I believe that the time that had been suggested for Henry Park was 10 p.m., whereas the tennis courts go to 11 p.m., and that was based on the community survey. So the lights would only be able to be turned on up until that time. They can't be turned on after that time, and they only stay on for a set period of time when they are on. This is based on quite a long time the community had been expressing a desire to be able to play basketball beyond the regular park hours, which are basically at dark. So we had applied for this last year. Unfortunately, we were not funded, so we're applying again this year.
And there's no really any major changes?
No. We updated the prices. Tim obtained new pricing from the appropriate vendors. Those are the applications being updated as far as that goes.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Mary?
I make a motion that we approve this application grant.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the application for matching funds for the project of $108,500. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All opposed? All right.
Thank you.
Next are our departmental reports. We'll start with Finance Director Natalie Salee.
Good evening, everybody. Just a couple of things. We're a couple of weeks away from fiscal 2019 audit. The auditor is going to be here beginning of September, approximately for a week or more. So we're working on reports to submit to them. Also, we're working on several reports for Public Service Commission in regards to electric services. And state sends us summary reports how we utilize all the grant money and state money, so those reports be filled and sent it to the state. I want to just bring to attention water and sewer rates. The new rates are in effect. They're affecting the bill, which is half July, half August, not the prior bill. We're receiving several phone calls, and I think people are concerned more of electric bill because of the hot weather. So the residents who have water, sewer, and electric together on the same bill, they're surprised how high they are, but they do need to look at the breakdowns. The water and sewer rates affecting only the high users. So people who are above 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 gallons will kind of feel a little bit of increase, but who are normal users or low users, there is no effect with the new rates for water and sewer. So most of the bills are driven the high usage of electric because of the hot temperatures. That's all I have. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions for Natalie? Okay. Thank you. All right. Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Boland.
The only thing that I have sort of along the lines of the auditors, I have a staff from the Department of Housing and Community Development will be on site next week to review three block grants, the oldest of which date back from 2012. So that's a little old, but they'll be here to monitor those. It should go fairly well. And I'll be working with Jamie to make sure we get code reds out for the Flower Street work whenever that is scheduled.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Mary? Next is Water Resources Director Jamie Latcham.
Good evening. We've had to fix a water leak on South William Street last week. It was two water lines running into one, so we had to repair that to the, I think it's number 16, South Main Street. Got that repaired. I'm working on changing out some meters that are not registering and just trying to keep up with grass since the rain has started. So that's all I have.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Jane? Next is Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A few things to report on. The two new houses on Prospect Drive, 107, 109, we installed the underground services to both those homes, so they now have electric service. We also responded to the garage fire at the intersection of Gay Street and Washington. We had to inspect all the overhead lines to make sure they weren't damaged from the heat during that fire. And then also over at AGH Cancer Center, that was a project for the State Highway Administration where we had to lower the existing primary that fed the cancer center. We completed that project, and I've notified the State Highway Administration that we're finished for that. And then also at our tie point that's out at the backside of Savage Substation, it's the tie point between us and Delmarva Power. There's some relays inside that substation that are their protection between us and Delmarva. We ended up having to order new relays. They were 26 years old, and we had one of them fail, so we ordered new ones, and we're in the process of the prep work to install those.
When do you think that they will be?
I would say probably in the next couple of weeks. Booth Associates is working on that with us because they have to be commissioned. To be put into service, so they have to be involved in it on that side. And then also the National Night Out, we had to install some panels for that event. And then also at the county library, we had to remove some old poles that were in the rear of the building. We took those out. Other than that, that's about it. Thank you.
Anyone have any questions for Tim? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next is Police Chief Arnold Allen.
Good evening, everyone. We had a busy last couple weeks. The Peach Festival is probably one of the biggest ones that we've actually had since they've actually ever had them. And the flow downtown was, very heavy. National Night Out, we actually had one of the biggest crowds we've ever had. And we did have the largest amount of participants and sponsors that we've ever had. So we really say thank you to all of our community partners for making that happen, and thank the town staff, especially the water department and electric department for making sure that we had everything to get set up with the electric and with the water and with the breaking down and the setting up of everything. We actually did have members of our agency go to the fire on Washington Street also, and afterwards we've had some communication with the residents there on the street, and they had some concerns in reference to the fire apparatus getting down that street, and we have stated that we will be reviewing that street and other streets in regards to the accessibility of emergency vehicles and other vehicles. One thing we do know that not only emergency service vehicles, even the town vehicles actually have a rough time getting down those streets and doing their job at times with people parking on both sides. So we're going to, and we've actually done it, once before, we're going to redo the assessment of the streets to go ahead and make recommendations about what streets should have what we would say one side parking or no parking on them.
And when would that assessment be ready?
Well, again, we have the one here from 2004, and if we look at the one from 2004 and we have to start going over that, it won't take long whatsoever. Working with Dave, we have to have minimal standards of what the state says that streets should be for parking. We know how big the actual traffic portion of the lane should be, and we will just go ahead and review those, remeasure the roads, and, again, make recommendations about when developments are built, that those standards are adhered to. Right now, one of the questions were Decatur Farms when it was actually built, and the statement was no one was going to go ahead and park on the road. If you go through Decatur Farms now, you know that people park on the side of the roads. That was a concern when it was actually built. So we have to make a determination what we plan to do in the future. Are we going to put no parking signs up? and follow through with that. And we're smart enough to know that we don't need to do this or try to do it on our own. The fire department has a key role in this. They know how much space they need to go ahead and maneuver and to move through. So we're definitely out there looking to them for some of their advice, and we had the opportunity to speak to the chief already.
Good. Well, I think working with the fire department on these access issues is, you know, extremely important. Mm-hmm. And I know I've talked to neighbors on both Washington Street and primarily on Washington Street, because there's many more, and also Gray Street, that about, you know, this is something I've asked them to come before the mayor and council and tell us their concerns. I think we all know what they are, but one of the points I want to make with them is that for parking regulations to be effective, it takes more than just the chief of police and officers. It means that basically if a neighborhood has parking restrictions and someone is violating these restrictions, the chances of somebody from law enforcement coming by at that exact time are very slim. But calling the police department is instant, and everybody has a smartphone or cell phone nowadays. So I'm hoping that, you know, when they're ready, and I don't think it'll be a long time from now, but when they're ready, they'll come before us, and I think we would be very supportive of what the recommendations that you make.
Okay.
Thank you. That's my report.
Sure.
I have a couple things.
Sure.
One, if we could follow up with the schools, because we experienced similar stuff during certain events with some of our schools, and with them getting ready to start back up, maybe reiterating some of those no parking areas. And then during special events, we need to keep an eye on West Street and Washington Street as well, because those become bottlenecks. Oh, and then with our analysis, I would also recommend reaching out to the folks that drive the trash truck, because if they have issues getting around something, that's typically a good metric for a fire truck as well.
Yeah, very good.
So. In speaking to West Street and those other streets, one thing we definitely need is signage to go ahead and make it work. We have their experience with the Beach Festival, the post office, situation where they were parking in the back so the mail trucks couldn't get in and all over the place. Once the vehicles are there, the only thing you're going to be able to do is tow vehicles out.
Right.
So we have to go ahead and make sure that we go ahead and either paint the curbs red or go ahead and put the signage up. So I'll definitely bring that.
And I can vouch for the enforcement. I mean, when Bragg was over there near Buckingham Elementary, people were not parking there. And then the second that we lax up on the enforcement, I mean, he wasn't writing tickets. He was just educating people. And I think that really helped. So I don't think we have to resort right to writing a ticket, but just educating the consumer a little bit.
Since we're talking about parking, I just want to restate my concern of Zach talked about special events. The Memorial Day parade with the parking on Shaw Street, that is absolutely ridiculous. Parking on both sides of that small street. You can barely get a motorcycle down.
You know, what might be suggesting there that when, you know, because they plan the event a year in advance, is working with the folks that are in charge of that to maybe have some sort of cones or something, and maybe temporary signs that, you know, tells people. Unfortunately, nobody's thinking about how their actions impact others. It's just, it's still never been good, but it's got to be near rock bottom. And it's the times we're living in, so we need to take actions we've never had to do in the past when it was, I guess, more common courtesy. And I think the event organizers would be happy to work with the police and the town.
And I mean, a fire is something that we can all see. It's tangible. But say a medical emergency that requires significant staffing to get there, I mean, that's a little harder for somebody to say, well, it took 10 minutes for somebody to get to my house when it could have taken 5.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
Could we actually have a vendor to block Shell Street on one end that shouldn't have been there?
Well, again, everybody knows the folks that are in charge. Just share that information, and officially the chief can do it as well. I think it's like anything else. We'll plan, we'll mend what is done, and then learn from that one and keep doing it until we can hopefully eliminate the problem, but certainly minimize it. Okay, next is Planning and Zoning Director Dave Engelhardt.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a couple items tonight. We had previously put out a code red and a press release. The improvements on Seahawk Road in front of Oceans East. And they had given us a week of date of starting today. I talked with the contractors this morning. It'll start, the work's going to start Thursday, the 15th. So it is in this week, but it didn't start today. So they'll start on those improvements to the entrance barriers this Thursday. The other item I wanted to update you on was previously we talked about the control burn at 137 Flower Street. Well, it's back on the schedule. We spoke with the Berlin Fire Company. It should be scheduled for a date in September. They said the last Monday in October, the very latest. They have a problem this time of year with, you know, there's a lot of dry grass, but the other problem they have is they need enough volunteers to be there to take part in the training. This time of year, a lot of their members and a lot of from surrounding areas are on vacation getting their kids ready for school, so they want to always make sure they have enough manpower available. In the interim, there had been an ownership question with several different owners that are, but that deed has been cleared up. That was part of the holdup. We got that resolved, and now the fire company is back on board, so they will be burning the house with a control burn.
I understand what you're saying is that the control burn will be sometime in September or at the latest the first Monday in October.
Correct. That's okay. What I was told by the Berlin Fire Company. Yep.
That's good. I can understand why. Then we'll do it when everything's dry. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Next is any questions for Dave? Next is Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a few, actually a lot of things tonight. Debatable. First, I announced the farm-to-table dinner date last week as September 12th. However, due to it being Bike Fest that week with a lot of people wanting to come to the farm-to-table dinner but also volunteering at Bike Fest, we are going to choose a different date for that. So stay tuned for a new date for the dinner at the Atlantic Hotel. I'd like to update everyone on our facade grants. The existing facade grant we have for the building located on Main Street where Gilbert's Provisions and the beauty salon are located, we are just waiting for the building owners waiting for materials to be delivered. And then once that happens, then the construction will begin and the building will be completed. Therefore, reimbursement of the grant can happen after that. We've also had three more grant applications. Those are waiting to be approved, and once those three are approved, there will no longer be any facade grant money available until the next grant go around, which will be next year or the year after, depending on if we need any other funding for next year. In listening to the parking conversation, Laura and I have been talking about different parking options, and what we've noticed ever since the wayfinding signs have been put up directing people to Decatur Park, more people have been parking down there. But what I've also noticed driving around during the event, seeing where people are parking and watching how they're looking for parking spaces and also talking to people who come to town, one of the obstacles is that they just don't know where to park once they're here. So what Laura and I decided was I was going to order some additional wayfinding parking signs leading people towards Decatur Park from downtown. Right now you don't realize that you can still travel from downtown towards Tripoli to make that turn to park at Decatur. And also some parking signs to direct people into the church parking lot near Baked Dessert down here where we are allowed to use that parking lot. And also to help alleviate the parking on West and Washington Street, I would like to recommend that I go ahead and put temporary no parking signs up the day before the event to let people know, hey, don't park on these streets. The locals will know that they can park there, but everyone else won't park there. So if that's okay with Mayor and Council and Laura, obviously, I'd like to be able to do that for the next, especially for Fiddler's Convention coming up at the end of September. I think that would be a good place to start to do a trial run for that. And any other streets, Chief deems that we should put those parking signs up. I ordered a lot of those, so we can use those, and I can always order more if you think that would be a good idea. We can talk about that sometime this week if you'd like. Also, speaking of signs, we've been getting some phone calls about the carriage rides, and Randy Davis talked with Randy about that, and what I did was I designed a few yard signs to put up when he's offering his carriage rides to let people know that those are rescue horses and that he does take good care of them. And if anyone has any questions or concerns, I have Randy's phone number on the sign, and also it's not the Humane Society, it's an animal control phone number on those signs so everyone can see them as they approach Randy. Also, the names of the horses, because I think it's always good to know the names of the horses. So Randy was appreciative of that, and those signs should be here the next time he's here. That the Runaway Bride Tours on Mondays are a little bit more popular than I had planned. We've had approximately 50 people on each tour. There. Thank you. Also, thank you to the Golias family who is sponsoring those tours for us. So very much appreciate that. And so we're going to be offering two tours on Mondays now, probably one at 3 p.m. and one at 4 p.m. So there's access on the sidewalks and people can hear. They're very successful and people just love them. Runaway Bride still gets all of that love even after 20 years. We have decided on the Christmas parade theme this year because people are already calling and asking about the Christmas parade. It is August, I know. The Christmas parade theme, there were several choices. Mayor G got to make the decision on what the parade theme was, and everybody loves this theme. It's magical melodies, the music of the season. So each float will represent some type of holiday seasonal Christmas carol or some type of holiday music. And then also just to keep everybody, just update everybody, next year's Christmas parade, 2020, will be the 50th year celebration of the Berlin Christmas parade. So we probably will be doing something special that year, inviting some special guests for next year. We will start planning that as early as possible. And last but not least, I found out I was going to be a grandmother to a granddaughter. I have two sons, and the baby is due, my older son and his wife, due on Valentine's Day. So I wanted to share that.
Very cool. Congratulations. That's cool.
I have one question.
Sure, sure.
Could we possibly look at when we are doing the facade improvements and somebody's approved for that, maybe finding a way to identify that building as being, do you have something for this already?
So people understand, yes.
And they're not like, man, what's going on here?
Yeah, so I have, whenever someone is doing the facade, actually it's a poster, and I usually give it after the award. But I think it is a good idea to get to have it put up so people know what's going on. I think that's a great idea. And I have posters that say, this is a Town of Berlin facade grant, courtesy of DHCD, and it's got a whole list of everything that the facade grant does. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and attach that to the building.
And, because, I mean, people are passing by, and we don't
yeah,
want them to
great
think,
idea.
Yeah, great
idea. I'll make a note of that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any other questions for Robbie? Very good. And next is Human Resources Director and Administrative Director, Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor Council. I have one thing. I mentioned to you the last meeting that over at Henry Park, the swing set that was there was in desperate need of, not repair, but desperate need of saying goodbye. So the new swing set has been, it was installed Friday morning. I was not able today, as of lunchtime, the swings themselves had not been hung. The vendor, I did speak to the vendor, and he said he would be here today, but I didn't get a chance to go over and look. But the new swing set is there. All the park equipment now, anything that was deemed in need of repair by the certified inspector has been replaced. But since that certification came through, we have another piece of equipment at Decatur Park that just failed. So we've got that on order, and that should be in place here in the next week or so.
Next week. Good. Does anyone have any questions for Jeff? Okay. Thank you very much. Next is the town administrator's report.
I just want to thank the chief. If you could please pass this on to S.O. Claude Holland. I think the work that he did in terms of organizing National Night Out was exceptional, a very successful event. He was well supported by the entire department, but since he took the lead, I think he deserves a specific thank you. So please pass that on. Chief, I also want to thank you for your diligence on the parking issue and working with the fire company on that. I think that's an important public safety issue, and I appreciate you pursuing it. I look forward to your recommendations. Also, I'd like to ask Tim Lawrence to talk a little bit about what happened with engine number 2 and the power plant and just update everybody on his work in that area.
Engine number 2, it was on July 17th. That was during our peak shaving event, which we ran multiple times that week due to the hot temperature. That engine basically had a failure, a major failure internally. There's a connecting rod that connects to the bottom of the piston, which pushes it up and down. That rod actually broke, and when it broke from the piston, it basically hit the side of the internals side of the engine, which damaged the block. The insurance company has been there twice already, and they're actually coming back there again tomorrow. They're supposed to call me in the morning when they get here. They sent another adjuster that is coming to look at the engine tomorrow. And then at that point, I guess they'll determine, you know, what the insurance will cover and that type of thing on the engine. I've been in touch with several vendors that are involved in engine generation work. One of them is Auburn Cat Diesel out of Elk Ridge, Maryland. We talked about temporary generators, a permanent fix, that type of thing. And then I also have another consultant out of Virginia that I'm also working with on the engine issue. So right now it's basically we're waiting on the insurance company to make a decision on what they're going to do.
There is a $10,000 deductible on that as well, so yeah. You're aware of that.
So. What type engine is it?
It's a Mitsubishi.
Yeah. Now, are we looking at a total replacement for that engine?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the process of looking at that total replacement, can we also evaluate the cost of going with a natural gas engine?
Yes, the problem with the natural gas, we actually had Chesapeake Utilities look at this with us before, and the amount of hours that we run the plant, it's just not cost effective for them to run the natural gas to feed it. Basically, to make it financially feasible to them, it has to run pretty much 24/7.
Is there any benefit for us to bring on a generator that operates a little bit more frequently than the generators that we have now?
Not really. It's not cost effective to do that, especially behind the meter. The engines that we use now are for peak shaving. You know, like compared to Easton, for example, they do what's called demand response. So they only get called on a needed basis, which they don't run as much as we do. You know, as far as that, it's just not cost-effective to run 24/7.
Okay.
So. And what kind of time are we talking?
As far as
repair?
To replace it? It could be to replace that engine, you're probably looking 10 months to a year. Just to get it permitted is 4 to 5 month process through Maryland Department of Environment. It has to meet what's called a certain tier rating, which is tier 2, tier 3, or tier 4. Depending on the age of the engine, if you were to purchase, an engine that, say, it was built before 2006, for example, you fall under a certain emissions regulation. If it's purchased after that, you know, like up to 2015 or something like that when it was built, it falls under a different emissions standard. Thank you.
Does anyone have any other questions for Tim?
Thanks, Tim.
The only thing I just want to mention is, again, that it was alluded to, we had the 11th annual Peach Festival was by far the biggest, and I think it not only was the biggest festival on the grounds at Berlin Heritage Foundation, at the Taylor Museum, but there was more people in town circulating the shops, the restaurants. It was just amazing. And again, I know we had good weather, and that's always a factor on any event we have, but I want to thank the Berlin Heritage Foundation for not only the work they did in preparing for this year, but in building a reputation and an experience that has become so important to the town. And next, I want to congratulate Chief Downing and all the police officers and your associated law enforcement agencies on what truly was the largest national night out we've ever had. Not only, you mentioned the number of vendors, but there were a lot of people there. And it was a kind of a hot evening. It wasn't, you know, but it was amazing. And please, just on behalf of the mayor and council, we thank you very much, and we're looking forward to many more. And I know it's truly a very positive community event that we're grateful that we have each year. And I think hopefully it kind of sets the tone for the community policing you all do all year long. And I think the last thing I would like to note is that I noticed that in one of last week's local newspapers, there was an article about how all the business locations in downtown are occupied. I don't think I've ever remembered in my lifetime that ever happening before. So it's unique. It's wonderful. And I want to congratulate, Ivy and your economic and community development efforts, and Allison and also all the volunteers, the ambassadors that we have that volunteer for the town, and of course the business people who take the financial risk and I think work together more than most communities can imagine. So I hope that's a sign of things to come, and just please pass on our thanks to anyone you come in contact.
No, sir. I'm good.
I have one comment. I spoke to the town administrator last week about a misunderstanding that probably came from my end with a request on how we were going to possibly go to bid on a couple contracts for next fiscal year. And just to add some clarification, which after talking with Laura, I think is going to be a substantial amount of time for staff. So I wanted to bring it up for everybody to talk about. Maybe compiling a list of all the contracts that we have with the last time that they went out to bid, the contract amount, and how well they're working with the town. I think Dean mentioned something about a score or something along those lines to evaluate their work with the town and how satisfied we are, just so that we have a clear understanding of when those contracts last went out to bid and maybe what contracts we'd like to resubmit for an RFP moving forward for next fiscal year.
And again, I assume that it leaves our collective judgment as to which ones need to go out to bid, which ones we're happy with for now. But
at least then we would have an idea of what's going on. You know what I mean? Right now it's kind of difficult to, they're all in different places, so it would be nice to have one document that we could work with.
Yep, sounds good.
So I don't know what the group would like to see, but that's something that I would like to have for next
fiscal year. So when Councilmember Till and I were talking about this, I said, well, we don't have that list readily available. We've got files. We'd have to compile it. It would take time. And if you wanted to ask the mayor and council for, you know, I guess some support in that, it would help staff to know that there's a majority, if not all, of the council interested in having us do that. We have implemented Councilmember Burrell's request for evaluation of our consulting contracts, and so we've got that in place. But it is a body of work to put this list together and do the work that Councilmember Tindall's recommending.
But I think
it's
a good ongoing working document. It'd be a document that basically, once it's established, we can then have some ideas. Some things probably need to be reviewed every time.
So you do have in your purchasing policy some things that are exempt from the bidding process.
Yeah.
And so I guess I need a little clarification from you as to whether or not you'd want us to put these on the list, because if they're exempt from the bidding process, then it's not clear to me exactly.
But maybe in a separate document, maybe a list of what they are, because, quite frankly, there's so much going on, I don't think any of us can name all the contracts and which ones are exempt and which ones are not. Maybe it wouldn't be part of the review, but at least we'd all be able to have that information. Yeah.
So do we need a motion for this or what?
That I don't know. But, it's not something that I would be looking for within 30 days. I'm saying, but before next fiscal year's budget discussion.
Yeah. Let me ask this. Unless you want to make a formal motion, we can have a motion by consensus.
I'm okay with that.
Is that
all
right?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sure.
That's all I have.
I just like... It did to the National Night Out. They did such a great job, and it was a great turnout. And I even stayed till the end and helped the police department take some of the tents down. I think I stayed too long.
Yes, you did.
That little guy up there in the corner was my grandson.
Oh, cute.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, I see.
He's so
cute.
Thank you.
He's got a bottom left, too.
Yeah, really?
Who's that old guy?
Yeah. Is that your father?
I have nothing to add.
That's your father.
I have nothing to add.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Next, do we have any comments from anyone in attendance tonight, or questions or anything you would like to add? Yes, sir.
Waiting for someone to speak about the safety issue with the streets on the fire department, but I have another issue relating to safety as I see it here in the community. At the corner of Henry's Mill Drive and Pender's Court, there is a fire hydrant that has been out of service for at least the past month, if not 6 weeks, and I've inquired several times as to its status. And I've gotten various responses, starting with the contractor hasn't gotten back to us, and to the latest on this past Friday is that they sent the wrong part. Now, as I see it, this is a serious safety concern. What kind of priority does the town, and what level of urgency does the town give to the repair or replacement of fire?
So I would ask Jamie to respond to that. I understand he's been in communication with you, and I also understand he's been the one who's been working on it. So Jamie, can you explain to the mayor and council, for the benefit of the public, what's been going on so far?
Just so you know, I do belong to the fire department, too, and I do express your concern. They were shipped us the wrong parts. They shipped us the breakaway, which trying to explain to them over the phone through American Flow Control. So we've been contacted them, and I talked to them this morning, and they have produced a receipt that it's going to be shipped. I'm waiting on a shipping date, and I haven't got it today, so hopefully tomorrow morning I will have it. And as soon as it gets in, we're going to fix the hydrant.
Does the fire company know that there's a problem with the fire hydrant?
Yes.
Do you believe in your assessment as a volunteer fire person that there's adjacent fire hydrants that are close enough to be able to?
Most rule of thumbs, fire hydrants 500 feet. Most fire trucks carry 1,000 foot of 5-inch. All of our trucks do. I'm not speaking for Berlin. I'm speaking from where I'm from in Subbyville. But I'm just speaking. I understand you're. I've been on the phone all day with them and trying to get the right parts.
And that hydrant's covered?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
and the fire department knows, you know, so that's all I can do. I mean, I don't know what else I can do.
There's sufficient water pressure in the area. I mean, the broken fire hydrant's not creating a water pressure issue.
No, ma'am.
So you're, if I understand you, what you're saying is that possibly as early as tomorrow, certainly within this week is when you expect to have that done?
Yes.
All right. So just when it is, just make sure Laura knows. So if we have any other inquiries, we can stay with the
status. We will.
Great.
Well, thank God we haven't needed it. Hopefully we won't need it.
That's right.
And I look forward to it being repaired.
No, well, thank you. Absolutely. No, we appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Hoppe.
Does anyone else have anything they wish to bring before the council? Yes, ma'am.
I just wondered what the status was of the investigation of the spill.
It's ongoing. And again, we're waiting. The next big thing is waiting for the MDE and EPA to get their final reports to us. And as I was saying earlier, we can't tell them when they have to have it, but I'm hopeful by, let's say, the end of this month, early September at the latest. But that's just based on, there just doesn't seem that much left. But one of the things, we will only reopen that park when we are absolutely certain in every way we can that there's no hazardous materials of any kind anywhere, obviously including that spot where the spill was, but anywhere else. And, you know, just want to take an abundance of caution. Yes.
Have you determined how that happened?
Not yet. And quite frankly, that's part of the things we hope the investigation will help with. But we can, we're very restricted on what we can say because of potential legal issues. Yeah, but don't, you know, certainly I don't mind you asking. I'll call. So, okay. Anything else? Yes, sir.
On the website under departments and services, how come we don't have a link to water and sewage? There's no page directly. When I originally looked into calling the town, there's no way to find the easy phone numbers.
There's the water resources.
It's the water resources department page. Yeah, can you?
Yeah, call it up. Because we're all lumped into one location.
Well, if you go to public services, you don't see streets, you don't see water or sewage.
Water resources. Can you click on it, Kelsey, so you can see what it looks like?
I would think we're looking at the same website. I think we can get it online.
And there's Jamie's phone number. And
there's only one website. I mean,
I just checked it before I came here tonight. Drop down
at
menu, I don't see it.
Water resources.
On
the
bottom?
Yes.
See it there? Can you see it there?
Barely, but.
Oh, yeah, I understand. We're all reached that point in our lives.
Were you checking that on a mobile device or on a desktop?
I was checking it on a desktop.
Okay. Because sometimes with the formatting, it can be a little different.
Maybe the browser app has something to do with it.
Sir, but if you dial our customer service number, it's 641-2770, it's a click of a button, the ladies downstairs will transfer you to the right person. Because sometimes when you call water department, most likely they're on field, so you will get transferred to the voicemail, but they can transfer you to the cell phone, Jamie's cell phone, somebody else.
Yeah.
Thank
you. That's very good. Yeah, that's a very good idea. Thank you. Okay. All right. Do we have any questions for the press?
Move to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we stand adjourned, and thank you very much for your attendance and participation.